Potheads, welcome to another episode of Sharing Our Pairings. This is Sharing Our Pairings Short Pour Edition, episode 81. Pargus, Ramon, E. Ramon, and Wildcard Pairing. I'm your host, John the Cigar Surgeon. Broadcast around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network, on CigarFederation.com, on YouTube, and every device in the world that connects to podcast. And if you download it, all the devices that don't. We're pairing some wildcards tonight, and I've got a special guest co-host, Aaron Loomis from Developing Palettes. Aaron, thanks for being on the show again.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Now, neither of us, you haven't smoked this Partagas before, have you?
I haven't.
So, I mean, I got the chance to smoke a few things at the show. Partagas, unfortunately, was not one of them because, you know, like you, I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, the irony here and what I'm leading up to is the fact that the blend profile has a Cameron wrapper. Which I was not expecting. Surprise.
Yeah, it was. It's that the blend was, I think, a little hidden on this one. It's not as well known as a lot of the other general stuff that they came out with this year. So not a lot of info out there on this.
Yeah, I was finding it was a bit challenging the normal sources that I'd go to, which is not me, the cigar encyclopedias who are out there. They know who they are, Coop, and it was actually tough to find some information on this cigar, but there is some cool stuff. I mean, obviously, we're talking about something with a Cameron wrapper, but it's got a regenerated Dominican tobacco seed in it. And you kind of knew about this. The seed's like 50 years old or something?
Yeah, I guess, you know, they're doing a big thing with their MAL project, which is the seed regeneration program. And this is one of the cigars that they're utilizing some of that tobacco for, and that's for the in the filler on this cigar. I guess we're calling it PM01.
So, very catchy name, right?
Yeah, so I guess that what they did with this is, you know, they have this big seed bank that has seeds that go back a number of years, and they're bringing some of those kind of out of mothball, and I think they kind of, with this, they tried to bring in some characteristics that made it immune to some of the diseases that were out there that were known for this type of seed. So trying to make it so it's a little hardier leaf that can stand up to the environment now.
Yeah, so I think if I understand, and I had to scour the dark web to find this out, but so they resurrected, they've got the seed bank, which, you know, that's kind of cool, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought it back, they resurrected it, which I'm assuming resurrecting a seed means you take it and you put it in water. And
right.
They've got a grown seed. And then they crossed it with a varietal to get a strain that is supposed to have the quality of vintage tobacco, which, you know, I don't really know if, like, I wasn't around 50 years ago, so I can't speak to how good vintage tobacco is, but it must be worthwhile. And as you say, being disease resistant, because of course that's why so many companies, you know, certainly all the Cuban growers, the Dominican growers, and the Nicaraguan growers have gotten away from certain varietals because they're prone to particular molds, they're prone to bugs, they're prone to other diseases. So this is supposed to be the best of both worlds. And we were kind of talking before we started about the profile because we're, you know, a couple minutes in trying to get settled, and it's an interesting profile. Like you were asking me what I was expecting, and I guess the answer is I'm not sure.
Yeah, it is definitely interesting. I mean, it's pretty woody. I guess maybe some cedar in there, but yeah, it's slightly drying. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely got a full body to it, which is nice.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was maybe, just because, you know, my experience with Partagas from general is that I was really expecting something in the medium-bodied, medium category.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think this is really medium plus full. And as you say, I get sort of an initial sweetness, but it's got a ton of cedar to it. And then an interesting earthy component underneath that, which I can't,
right.
I've been trying to put my finger on for like 15 minutes now. It's almost like you took nutmeg and mixed it with potting soil. Like,
yeah.
And then when I say something like that, it sounds super funky, but it's interesting. It's intriguing to my palate because I don't think I've smoked anything quite like this.
Yeah. It's got a grittiness to it. That's kind of where maybe that potting soil comes in, but definitely when you say earthy, you know, you can get to that point where you're saying you're pretty much referring to dirt, and that's kind of a profile. And it's not a bad thing saying dirt. It adds some complexity to it.
Now, I guess what's interesting, because they couldn't be satisfied with the PM01 filler. The wrapper also comes from, and I'm going to get this pronunciation wrong, I'm sure, but it's the Bituri region in West Africa. And if you followed the show, or if you followed any reviews on Developing Palettes or in CigarFederation.com, we've talked about Cameron wrapper many times. And consistently, the problem with Cameron wrapper, small production, mm-hmm. leaves tend to be smaller than what you would need out of most sizes. And the wrapper is very, very thin, which, when you know, if you know anything about tobacco, if you've gone on a safari, if you've gone to any of the events that teach you about tobacco, you can't have a thin wrapper. The whole point of a wrapper leaf is to be thick and resilient, because you need to stretch it out and roll it, and it gets handled a lot. But I guess this is supposed to be a darker, thicker leaf. And I, you know, like I said to you before this, we started, I had no clue. This does not look like Cameron wrapper. I mean, it's way darker.
Yeah, it's pretty hardy too. It's not going to be fragile like a lot of the other Cameroons are. It's got some thickness to it, I think.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I've had some Cameroon cigars that, and I'm not going to throw any manufacturers under the bus, because it's not their fault, but where the wrappers just spontaneously split in my humidor.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Or, you know, would you take them out of the humidor if you have a significant humidity change, depending on where you're living? You know, you have something that just pops in front of you, kind of thing.
So, we'll move on to our pairing soon here, but, I believe the size we're smoking is the Maxim Grande, which is the 6x52, but I could be wrong. I didn't measure it, but it looks like the 6x52. They've got a Robusto, Maxim Grande, Gigante, and Fabuloso. Did you happen to measure this? Throwing you right on the bus. Did you happen to measure
it? I don't, but I actually have the stats. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick.
Because it definitely didn't look 5x50 to me. I mean, this is...
Right.
Yeah. So I kind of naturally assumed it was the Maxim Grande, which MSRP in this is totally... Like, you listen to this story about sort of how they came about this cigar, and you're like, okay, you know, yeah, $12, $13 cigar. It's only... The range is only $749 to $899 MSRP,
yeah.
Which I'm surprised at, frankly, especially with that Cameron wrapper. That's... Yeah.
Right. This is the Robusto. It's 5.5x50, though.
5.5x50. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I somehow got 5x50. So that makes sense, because this is not, I mean, you can look at the, that's what I was looking at the ring gauge. I'm like, it doesn't look bigger than a 50, but it's definitely longer than 5.
Right.
5.5x50. That's, you know, they call it a Robusto. It's a Robusto extra.
Yep.
Robusto ends at 5 inches, guys. Come on.
Yeah. It's a good size though. I mean, I think a lot of people like to kind of float in between that Toro or Robusto size. So, you know, being right there in the middle, I think is a good size.
And it, frankly, for me, and I guess maybe I'm a ring gauge snob, I'm happy. If you want to make it 6x50, you want to make it 5.5x50, I'm happy with that than making it 52, 54, 56, 58.
Right.
And that's just me, you know. That's just me.
I agree with you. I think once you start enlarging the ring gauge, you start to maybe lose some of the flavor from the filler. It starts to get a little bit watered down, maybe.
So I'm about... maybe halfway through or three quarters of the way through the first third. It is very drying. Mm-hmm. The cedar component on this is very prominent, and it's got a little bite to it. It's weird, because I wouldn't classify it as bitterness. I would classify it as spices or pepper if there was spices or pepper, but it's got that bite that I would expect from spices or pepper without having spices or pepper. So it's, it's a very interesting, I'm going to say that's going to be my keyword that I keep repeating, is very interesting, because
yes.
I don't think I've smoked anything quite like this before.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting profile with those components. It's woody and earthy. I mean, that's the core of it. But there's no pepper to it. There's not really any spice to it. Maybe as the cigar goes along, that might show
pick up.
But so far, that hasn't shown itself.
And I have to say, I can't recall in the near past any cigar that I've ever smoked that was in the medium plus to full category that did not have a significant amount of spice or pepper or both.
Right. Yep.
So I think in that respect, this probably stands out. If you're looking to get into the medium plus full category and you're not a fan of pepper or spice, this could kind of be your medium plus full training wheel cigar, because... it's approachable. It's weird to say a medium plus full cigar is approachable, because normally it's supposed to slap you around a little bit, but it's nice.
Yeah, it's like you said, if it's too much pepper or spice, you know, the people that are just kind of trying to move away from that mild medium range, they'll kind of get a little blown away at that point. It's just too big of a jump for them. So this might be a good transitional cigar.
So finishing up the talk about this cigar blend, of course, named for, and I say of course as if I knew this, which I did not because I had to do my research, but named after Ramon Cifuentes Torriello, who brought the original seeds over from Cuba. And, thanks for bringing the seeds over, because it's a really interesting cigar. But really, this is a show about pairing. It's not just about cigars, although I'm sure we could wax poetic about cigars for quite some time. I went in a different direction. I saw your photo, and I went, oh, I made a terrible, terrible mistake. So why don't you talk about your pairing, and I'll try to get centered here on my pairing.
Sure. I don't know if it was just deep in my memory bank from talking to General at the show, but I wanted to lean towards that this wasn't going to be too strong of a cigar. So I thought I was going to be on the kind of the lighter side. So I didn't really want to go with anything too strong that would mask the flavors. So yep. I went with an Anderson Valley GT Gosa. So it's a light, it's a lighter side on the alcohol spectrum. So it's 4.2% alcohol by volume. And Gosas typically are lighter beers. Look, it's very light in the glass. And it's usually a low spice, kind of lemon peel, coriander type of profile. And then with this, what they've done was they've kind of added some botanicals to it, lemon peel, juniper, lemongrass, and some grains of paradise. So it's still low, but it... What is a good pairing for this is that there's a lot of the lemon and the lemongrass. So there's a little bit of citrus component. So it kind of gets your taste buds going to, increase the saliva production in your mouth. So with this being a dry cigar, I think it actually kind of is a good contrast to that, to be able to kind of keep that going while you're smoking through the drier profile here.
Now, have you had the GT Gosa before?
This is the first time I've tried it. Okay. I've had other Anderson Valley Gosas, but just not this one.
Okay. Well, I'll ask you questions as we go then, because it's going to say, do you think it's going to be that citrus that, because sometimes citrus can add some nice balance and sweetness, and sometimes citrus can add like an acidic punch to a Gosa, which, kind of is an offset to that sour component, which is nice, frankly. I enjoy, if you want to step up a Gosa with some botanicals and stuff. Giddy up, as far as
yeah, yeah. There's a big lemon component to it right up front when it gets into your mouth, but it's got a real short finish, so it's not like it's kind of lingering in there and it's kind of affecting the flavors. So I think that's nice. You get that big punch of the lemon or citrus up front, but then it kind of fades out. You get the Gosa with kind of the saltiness after that. The lemon fades away, and then that. The saltiness is a quick finish, so then it's gone. So then you're kind of you've got a little bit of a saliva buildup,
yep.
But then that's kind of the remnants of it. So you have a watery mouth, and then you can kind of go back to the cigar. And you're probably not going to want to go 7-8 draws between sips, but yep. It's good to go back to every couple draws.
So I think it's interesting because of course the Gosa with the short finish and the cigar. We talk about the drying mouthfeel, but it does have a very short finish to it as well, which, again, is kind of surprising. This is really contrarian when I think about a full-bodied, medium-plus full-bodied cigar. They always have a long finish, whether that's lots of lingering spice or lots of lingering sweetness or lots of lingering leather or lots of lingering earth. They all have long finishes.
Right.
And other than that little bit of drying mouthfeel, I take a draw, even when I'm retroing, and post-draw, it just drops right off a cliff immediately.
Yeah, it's very similar with the beer I chose. So it's quick and easy on both aspects of it. So cigar, short finish, drink, short finish. You don't have anything that you're trying to compensate for on one side or the other. So you don't need to take a bunch of draws to try to get that flavor back from the cigar or take a a couple drinks from the beer to get the flavor of the cigar out of your mouth. So it's a nice pairing here.
Now, you kind of joked that, and I had a good chuckle at work. You were saying that you could kind of tell what I was drinking based on the based on my Facebook feed, what the weather profile was in Canada here.
Yep.
And you're not far off. It's the weather's been kind of seesawing all over the place. And so when the weather's seesawing, I kind of pivot when we're talking about beer. And I could have gone bourbon. I could have gone rum. I think rum actually would have been a great choice. Mm-hmm. But I went with stout. And this is a stout from a great SigFed member, Stefan, who came up. And a great guy, brought me a ton of beer to try because he knows it's tough to get some of that West Coast stuff. So he hooked me up with the Fort George Cavatica Stout, which I've never had this before. So this is like a completely blind pairing, frankly, blind cigar, blind stout. It's actually working well. I was really concerned that the stout was just going to run this cigar right over, and we kind of talked about that. Fortunately, I lucked out. I mean, I did my research and knew what the profile
exactly.
was. Exactly. I mean, you look at this stout. I mean, this is black. It's thick. They even say that the name comes from the Latin root meaning cave, crevice, dark, and they say that's exactly what a stout should be. And I agree. The problem, of course, when pairing with a cigar is you got to match strength for strength. I lucked out here. We've got a full-bodied cigar. I think, you know, I was, again, you know, don't assume the cigar by the wrapper. I saw a Cameroon wrapper and I went, maybe I should swap out my beer because I've made a horrible mistake. But fortunately, it's going well because, you know, normally when I think of Cameroon, I think it's going to be blended with a lot of sweetness. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have a hay, maybe a bit of cedar component. I'm actually getting, again, you know, we talk about the profile here. I'm not getting a ton of sweetness out of the cigar, which actually works here because the stout serves to provide that sort of wet mouthfeel to compensate that dry mouthfeel. And I find this woody, earthy note is really punching up the malts in this stout, like big time. It's almost like a milk stout. That's how much it's kicking it up. Little bit about, so this is from Fort George Brewery. Let's talk a little bit about them. They're founded in Astoria, Oregon in 1811. At least the site was founded in 1811. This was like the first building in Astoria. The brewery itself, it's a brew pub, and they opened in March of 2007. Just a heads up, I didn't find that on their website, and it's frustrating when I go to a beer website and I have to like do all this digging. Just put that you open on 2007 on your website, man. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to go to Wikipedia. I want to go to your website. That being said, the beer is fantastic. The 15th largest brewer in Oregon, which, you know, knowing Oregon's got a lot of breweries, that's probably a heck of an accomplishment. This stout is 8.8%. They use a ton of ingredients. It's got organic two-row malted barley. It's got Munich malt, black barley, roasted barley, Cascade hops, Fort George house yeast. So it's obviously their internal strain. Unfiltered and brewed through, they say it's Astoria slow sand filtered water. So I assume that means the water is very crisp and clean. The stout has a ton of, like, that, you know, this is kind of the classic stout. Like, you nose it and you get that nice charred malt nose with the espresso, but not overly espresso. You don't get that bitterness. You just kind of get that inherent coffee quality.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, on its own, the stout is not very sweet. But when I take a draw of the cigar, it's kicking the malt quality in this stout up big time, and I'm getting a ton of sweetness, which works surprisingly. I mean,
right,
you know, we're pairing experts, we knew this was gonna happen.
Exactly.
How's that Goza going for you?
It's very good. Typically Goza is not going to change, you know, really based on temperature, I guess, unless you heat it up, but you know, staying the same. It's a lot of citrus and lemon from the lemongrass and the lemon peel. And the saltiness is just something I enjoy, and that's why I enjoy it goes. So it's, you get the best of both of those worlds in it. So it's a very good beer.
Now, do you find with that lemon and lemongrass in there, is that kind of recharging your palate? Cause I know sometimes on IPAs, the nice thing about IPAs, if it's got that citrusy quality, it can be almost a palate recharger between draws.
Yeah, it is. You know, there's not a lot of finish on the cigar in regards to like the woodiness that kind of staying on your tongue or anything like that. So, mm-hmm. You kind of have a neutral feel when you go to the beer. So, you know, you do get that a little bit of sweetness that just jumps in there, and it, it does. It kind of just gets things going again in your mouth to kind of combat the dryness from the cigar.
Now I'm kind of moving into the middle third here, and I'm actually getting a ton of creaminess off the retrohale. But again, not very sweet, just a really sort of velvety mouthfeel. And then again, you know, consistently that post-draw cedar, really heavy cedar that's very mouth-drawing. But this is a good cigar. I think it's a no-brainer, Cameroon and coffee. I think this would be really good with a cup of coffee.
Yeah, I think so too.
I don't know if I'd do that first thing in the morning. This might be a little strong for me. I almost wonder, and this is probably just because I'm getting crazy now because I got a stout. I almost wonder if IPA that isn't crazy on the hoppy scale, that isn't too bitter, might be interesting with this.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting try as well. I think with the coffee, I would say maybe even some coffee that's got a little bit of sweetness to it. So if you add sweetener, or if you just add some cream to it, because you'll still want that. To be able to, you know, give you a little bit of moisture in the mouth. Otherwise, you're going to be looking at, you know, a bitter coffee and then a really woody drying cigar. That may not work out too well.
Yeah, I think a Cuban style coffee would probably be kind of perfect, or maybe anything that's like a latte based. So you get that kind of milk lactases in there.
Right.
Scotch would be a no-go, and shockingly, this is probably the first time I've run across a cigar where I think Scotch would be a no-go, because I think the Scotch would be, again, you'd be maxing dry mouthfeel with a heavy mouthfeel from the Scotch, and I think it'd be unpleasant.
Yeah.
But I think rum might be fantastic. Like my immediate thought is, boy, can I go for a Florida Canyon 12 or 18 with this? Because I think it's got enough sweetness to offset that wood without being that sickeningly sweet that I get out of some, you know, some of the island rums can be a little bit too sweet for me. But, you know, if you had an island rum that had a little bit of spice to it and not so much sweetness, that could be kind of interesting, because I'd be intrigued to see how that cedar and earth interacts with a spicy component from a rum.
Yeah. And I don't really drink tequila that much, but if you had a nice sipping tequila, I mean, I'm kind of curious what that might be able to do with this cigar as well.
So what's interesting is last short pour, I busted out a Reposado, and it was shockingly light compared to the cigar I was pairing with. And I almost think you'd have to go with like an añejo, like a bigger, you know, fuller aged tequila to match this up, because again, the strength of this cigar is really surprising. But I guess, you know, the flip side of that is it doesn't really necessarily have anything that's going to run the tequila over, because there's no sweetness, there's no spices, there's no pepper. So that could be an interesting pairing experiment. It's intriguing. It's such an interesting flavor profile, and I guess I'm just gonna have to give credit to the combination of that interesting Cameroon wrapper and a unique seed strain. They've come up with a blend that, you know, maybe on its own I would have passed by because I didn't know anything about this, but having smoked a third of this is interesting. This is, and you know, again, I think at a price point that I see a cigar like this and my mind immediately goes, well, this is going to be a $12 plus cigar. If you can deliver something like this sub $9, that's pretty approachable, I think, for most cigar smokers.
Mm-hmm. And if memory serves me correctly, I don't think that this is actually supposed to be officially released until October. So with a couple more months on it, I'll be interested to see if there's any kind of slight profile changes to it at all.
Yeah, maybe the cedar and the earth will blend in a little bit better if it's got some more time to rest. I mean, we're not necessarily being fair to the cigar. Someone actually talked to me about this the other day. They said, hey, you're smoking all these samples fresh off the IPCPR. And it's like, well, yes, and I would love to give these samples 6 months to rest. But in the review world, you got to be first or you're last.
Right.
Ricky Bobby. And, you know, we'd love to let them rest, but you can't. You have to review it as quickly as possible. The fortunate thing is that General was generous enough to give us some samples here to do for review, do for a show, and maybe have one or two to rest so we can revisit this in 6 months, 10 months, 12 months, and see kind of how that develops. Because I think you're right. I think this could be with another 6 months or even 3 months of age, this could be a really interesting cigar.
Yeah, most of the cigars that we got samples of, they were supposed to be released July or August anyway, so they're supposed to be ready or hitting stores now. So if somebody went and went to the shop and picked one up, they're going to have that same experience if they just grab it out of the humidor and go into the lounge and smoke it. So you can be fair to a point if you're going to say, oh, I want to let it rest a little while, but a lot of people are going to have that same experience where they're smoking it fairly quickly after it arrives. So they'll get that experience as well, and then that's basically what they're going to judge on whether they're going to continue to buy those or not.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of wondering now, as I kind of move towards the middle here, whether something like a Belgian ale or a Belgian triple would be interesting, just because, or even a lambic, where you get a little bit more of that fruit component. I wonder if that'd be interesting with this, because again, there's so many flavor gaps there that we can fill in with beer. This probably has a lot of options for pairing with beer.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think overall, I was expecting this to be a disaster, and I'm very impressed. I think this cigar has a lot of pairing opportunity that I was not giving it credit for. I'm glad I smoked it. I psyched myself out, because if I'd known what the profile was before I chose my beer, I think I would have gone with my gut, which is not go with a stout. And I'm glad I did, because it works really well. It I think both are complementing each other very well. The malt is kind of filling in for some of the components that I feel aren't there in the cigar, which is fine. And then the cigar is doing a great job of highlighting, the major components of the beer. What are your thoughts on that Goza pairing?
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. And for a pairing, you're going to have a few different options that are good. But I mean, with the cigar having a short finish. You'd be able to drink a lot of different things and not have them run over each other. So it's going to really be dependent on the drink that you choose and the kind of finish level that it has, whether or not it's going to have an effect on the cigar. So, you could drink something else that has a short finish, and they're not going to be competing for each other. So you'll still have an enjoyable experience. So you just have to take that into consideration. It's kind of the finish of the drink. Is where you'd want to look at in regards to this cigar of what would be successful or not.
Yeah. So to all those people out there listening or watching or just tuning in now, don't overlook the Partagas Ramon y Ramon. And don't think it's a mild or medium cigar, because it's not. This is definitely solidly in the medium plus full category. It's got a ton of body to it, which again, you would not think being a Cameroon wrapper, you would kind of assume that it's not, but this one might sneak up on you. Lots of pairing opportunity. Aaron, can you let everyone know where they can find you on social media and your website?
Sure. The website is developingpalates.com, and you can find us on all the social media channels. We have a YouTube channel where we have all of our recap video reviews, as well as Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Google+. So pretty much all the sites you'll be able to track us down.
Nice. Thanks very much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Sure, we'll have you on again very soon, especially as we move into the colder weather and you've got the warmer weather there. Mm-hmm. That works out well.
Yes.
And as we say on Sharing Our Pairings, drink better, but drink best. What? What does that even mean?
What does that mean?
I don't know. Stout must be affecting my brain. Drink better, but drink less.